Are you ready for another mystery riddle?
Not really, because I'm gonna screw it up. But let's do it anyway.
All right, this is the car mystery. A man was shot to death while in his car. There were no powder marks on his clothing, which indicate that the gunman was outside of the car. However, all the windows were up and the doors were locked. After a close inspection was made, the only bullet holes discovered were in the man's body. How was he murdered?
So he's legit dead, though.
Yes.
I was just checking to make sure this wasn't like a Valerie's husband where the cop staged the murder.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Because that was my only thing I was going
All
for is
right.
cop staged it.
There was only gun holes in the man. All the windows were up. The doors were locked. But it was a convertible car and the roof was down. And that's another 0-9. You got that one wrong. You can't even get one right.
So, are you ready to pick up on part two of Jeffrey Dahmer?
I am ready.
Are you really?
Well, you kind of left us on a cliffhanger, so do you want to kind of summarize before you jump back
Yes, I
in?
was going to. So, we're going to pick back up on part one. We were talking about Jeffrey's childhood through the age of 30. So, where we were questioning last week of how old he was, there you go. He was 30.
Not 20.
Not 20. Not in his 20s. He was 30. We discussed his multiple arrests. First, he raped a few people. He murdered a few people. But that's not why he went to jail. He went to jail because he exposed himself. Remember? Not for his murders, because he's already murdered how many people at this point?
Like
A handful.
five.
That's what you missed. And if you missed it, you need to go back and just listen to it because he murdered quite a few people. And how he has got away with what he has done. And he's just going to jail because he flashes wee-wee at some kids while he was supposedly peeing is beyond me. But on March 25th, 1990, Jeffrey met Anthony Seegers at a gay bar. Jeffrey took him back to his grandmother's house because he assumed the police were watching his apartment. Because, that's where the one little boy escaped. Once they had sex, Jeffrey offered him a drink, and that's when he murdered him. Jeffrey kept Anthony's skull as a trophy. So on May 23rd, Jeffrey went to court for his sexual assault against the 13-year-old boy. Jeffrey pleaded with the judge for leniency. He's like, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a homosexual, and I just have problems. Judge Garner decided to give him 5 years probation and 1 year in a halfway house. And then after he served his time in the halfway house, Jeffrey got a new apartment. Just 2 weeks after moving into what is now the famous apartment, fun fact,
Let me look it up.
this building has been since demolished in 1992, and nothing has been built there.
In 28 years.
Yeah, so since they tore it down, like nothing has went where that building sat. Jeffrey met Ray Smith at Club 219. Ray was new to Milwaukee. Jeffrey asked Ray if he would want to come back to his place, pose for some photos. Ray accepted the invitation. Jeffrey does what Jeffrey does and he offers Ray a drink. Ray passes out.
I'm listening. You're talking about Ray. But when the building was still up, you know how much you can rent that apartment for? $10,000 per month.
Why would somebody want to live there?
I don't know. It says, well, maybe it's his home. Maybe it's his actual home. But it says, can you rent Jeffrey Dahmer's home? And then it's $10,000 per month. obviously it's not the, it's his, the childhood home.
Oh, like the first original house?
Yeah.
That is crazy. But I do not think I could live in a house that somebody was legit murdered in and a serial killer lived there.
No.
Jeffrey offered Ray this drink. I want to know what was in these drinks. But Ray passed out. Jeffrey strangled him, stripped him, had sex with his body. And it was the first time that he admitted having sex with a corpse. But it wouldn't be his last.
Ooh, he admitted that?
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. he got away with that?
Until he got caught, he did.
Oh.
Ugh. Yeah. Once he was done having fun with Ray, he dismembered his body and threw him out with the trash. He kept his skull, and this marks the beginning of his collection of human souvenirs. That just makes me cringe. Now, when you go into people's houses, especially since it's about to transition into Halloween, you're going to be like, I bought the skulls that they have. You're like, is that a real skull? Is that plastic?
I know where you're going with this. Did cops not figure out, oh, that looks like a missing person that we've been looking for?
No, I mean, like, it was just their skull, not their head.
Yeah, I get that.
How can you tell, like, oh, that skull?
I don't know. That shape like that person's head.
Okay.
I don't know. That's what I've seen with this guy.
This episode is presented by Fair. Are you looking for that perfect watch for you or someone special? Fair was founded with the goal of making affordable everyday watches with a tasteful design. And who doesn't love that? Just make sure to go to fairwatches.com and use our promo code PODGO15. That's PODGO15. To get 15% off of your watch.
Hi guys, we're Mary and Vanessa, the host of True Crime Dropouts.
Join two best friends and former criminal justice majors as they pretend to know all things true crime.
So sit down, grab a broom, drive, we really don't care, and give us a listen. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and anywhere really.
And don't forget, stay in school, or you'll end up like us, degreeless without that fabulous FBI job.
So on June 14th, 1990...
Regardless, the fact is, you know how the plastic skulls are, and it's not going to be shaped like your skull is. You're going to know, if you're a detective, that's human remains.
Well, apparently he did a good job with it for a while, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, on June 14th, 1990, Jeffrey met Eddie Smith. He went back to Jeffrey's apartment. They had oral sex. And then afterwards, Jeffrey offered Eddie a drink. And just like that, Eddie passes out. Jeffrey strangles him.
So, what? He doesn't kill anybody awake? They had to pass out?
Yeah. Note to self, do not take drinks. But if you did not know that, do not take drinks. So, Jeffrey strangles him, he dismembers the body, and then he threw out his remains, just like the others, with the trash. I'm wondering, how has a trash person not realized that they're throwing away, like, they not lifting up a bag, like, oh my god, it feels like a body's in here, just like joking around, like.
Or a bone didn't just pop out, a finger didn't just come out the back, blood, nothing?
Nothing, apparently. So,
but now, don't you hear about, you find them in the landfills and stuff?
Yeah.
Did they not check back then?
I guess not. I don't know what they were doing back then. But on July 8th, 1990, Jeffrey decides to change up his MO a little bit. He decides not to drug his victims. He had a 15-year-old Hispanic kid pose for photos when he picked up a small mallet. Is it a mallet?
Like a hammer.
Okay.
Like a, if I'm thinking right, it's kind of like a big plastic block that you would kind of like hit wood with.
Okay,
an actual hammer to bust it up.
Okay.
Kind of like how you put your wall pieces together if you were putting down like mama's floor.
Got you. Okay. So, he hit the boy in the head with it. The kid fought back and eventually escaped.
So, that's two that's escaped now?
Yes. The kid went to the police and begged the police not to tell his foster family that he was gay. So the police was just like, yeah, and just left it alone.
And didn't even go check it out?
No. I have like full respect for cops, but it makes me mad that they did not look into it. Right. The kid was just like, don't tell my foster parents that I'm gay. And they're just like, okay, well.
Then we're not going to look into it.
We're dropping it. So on September 3rd, 1990, Jeffrey picked up Ernest Miller, took him to his house, had sex with him, drugged him because he's like, I'm not letting him escape.
I guess that's why he started drugging back again.
Then, like I said before, he still changed up his MO. He didn't strangle Ernest. Do you know what he did?
Used the acid.
No, he cut his throat.
Ooh.
And then he sliced off his bicep and puts him in the freezer.
Ooh.
Removed all of his flesh. And he kept Ernest's entire skeleton this time.
Oh.
Yeah. Around this time, Jeffrey's neighbors were starting to complain about the smell coming from his apartment. Jeffrey explained to the landlord that his fridge was broke and that he would be fixing it soon. Everything's smelling wonky. So,
yeah, dead body wonky.
This is like a September-October time frame. In 1990, Jeffrey met David Thomas. Jeffrey and David were drinking in the apartment when Jeffrey gave him his special drink. Jeffrey didn't want to kill David, but he was worried that he might be upset if he woke up knowing that Jeffrey drugged him. So Jeffrey decided the next best thing to do would be just to
kill him.
Kill him. And this time, he filmed the whole dismembering.
Oh my, why?
Of David.
Like he wanted to get caught?
I guess. I guess he was just like, I've already did this and I haven't got caught. And I did this and I haven't got caught. Let's just bump it up to the next level. He took photos of David's severed head in different positions all around the apartment.
Oh.
These photos were later viewed for identification purposes. But it's just like he was putting his head like
all around,
all over the place, just like posing. It was like
how Kenan did with the toilet paper when there was a shirt.
Yes, just
toilet paper on the toilet, toilet paper cooking some eggs, toilet paper in the crib, just, in the car seat,
just basically being a severed head.
I'd rather be the toilet
paper. Much better. On February 18th, 1991, Jeffrey met Curtis, we won't say S, and Curtis wanted to be a model. So Jeffrey mentioned, you know, he should pose for some pictures, and he gladly agreed. He was strangled while giving Jeffrey oral sex.
Gosh.
Jeffrey painted his skull and decided to keep the hands and his penis.
Gross.
Why? Like, why?
Because he's a sick man.
Why?
Because he had mental problems.
So, on April 7th, 1991, Jeffrey met Earl Lindsay at a local bus stop. But basically, Earl came back to Jeffrey's apartment. Jeffrey offered him a drink, and he accepted.
This is when they all mess up.
Soon after, Jeffrey performed oral sex on his corpse. Then he kept Earl's skull. If you have not kept up with the body count, Tamara, right now we are at 5 skulls, 2 bicep, 1 penis, and 1 set of hands.
Hands?
Yeah, he kept his hands.
Okay.
Of Curtis. Or I guess you could say 2 hands, but it's like 1 set of...
Yeah, a pair of hands.
Yeah, a pair of hands. All that's either in his fridge or just floating throughout his house. I mean, I feel like that's enough to for him to get caught right there.
You would think, especially with the pictures.
On May 24th, 1991, Jeffrey met Tony Hughes at Club 219. Tony was a deaf mute, so Jeffrey wrote to him on a piece of paper. He said $50 to pose for photos and watch some videos. Well, I'm sure you know what Jeffrey did by now.
Took him home, gave him a drink, killed him.
And then Tony was left there laying in his room for a few days before he decided to dismember him.
How many days?
For a few days.
Okay. I thought that's what you said, but yeah. I didn't know if you said exactly how many.
No, for a few days. And I have in my notes, I'm like, I'm guessing the refrigerator is still broke.
Stinking.
Because I can only imagine.
It keeps getting worse.
On May 27th, 1991, Jeffrey met, and I don't even know how to pronounce this guy's name. It's, you tell me.
Kanakaruk?
Sure. We're going to call him Mr. K or Mr. S. At a local bus stop. He was a younger brother of the guy who charged Jeffrey with the sexual assault charges. Jeffrey never knew this at the time, but Jeffrey got the 14-year-old boy into his apartment, drugged him, had sex with him, drilled holes in his head.
Oh my God.
Injected acid, and then left to go get some beer. Somehow, the kid woke up, was able to make it out of the building.
With acid in his head? With holes in his head?
Walked into the street where he found police. To the cops, he was just a drunken homosexual. When they spoke to Jeffrey, their thoughts were confirmed. They went back into the apartment and noticed nothing out of the ordinary, and then the two left. Joked about it on their CBs. Well, Jeffrey ended up adding his skull to the collection.
Wait, how was it a joke when he had holes in his head?
I don't know. But the kid went to the police, and then by this time, Jeffrey's coming back. And kind of like, oh, hey, get out the house. Oh, I don't know.
And but, they didn't smell the smell and check out, what about the skulls that's hanging around?
I don't know. Like, the cops made jokes about it. And they just thought he was just
a... I wonder how they're feeling now.
Oh, on June 30th, 1991, Jeffrey traveled to Chicago for Pride Day. His wallet was stolen at this event. While at a bus stop, he met Matt Turner, another guy who wanted to be a model. Jeffrey talked to him about coming back to Milwaukee with him. Jeffrey paid for the bus tickets for both of them. Once back at the apartment, Jeffrey drugged him, strangled him, and then cut off his head. He wrapped it in plastic and placed it in the freezer. He placed his torso in a blue 57-gallon barrel.
Oh.
On July 4th, 1991, Jeffrey decided to go back to Chicago. While there, he met Jeremiah, a local guy at a gay watering hole. What is a watering hole? Is it like a bar?
Maybe.
So Jeremiah eventually asked his roommate what he thought of Jeffrey. And he said, he seems all right. Decided to go back to Milwaukee with him. I'm sorry, Jeremiah, but your friend was wrong. And because he was not all right.
No.
He was far from all right. Jeffrey paid for his bus ticket for the 90-mile ride back to his place. Once there, they had sex, and Jeremiah spent the night. But when Jeremiah got sick of having sex and wanted to go home, Jeffrey said, fine, and then offered him a farewell drink. Then Jeffrey strangled him, put Jeremiah's head in the freezer.
Gosh, dang. I'd be like, no, I'm ready to go. I don't want a drink.
Yeah.
I mean, geez.
So on July 12th, 1991, Jeffrey met Oliver Lacey. They went back to Jeffrey's place, had drinks, fooled around, and then Jeffrey strangled him. Jeffrey also had sex with his corpse.
Ew.
Then sliced off his right bicep and ate it.
Ooh.
I'm wondering if he cooked it first.
What? Stop. Like. Yeah, he put it on the hamburger bones and just. Why?
I don't know. He placed Oliver's head in the freezer.
Next. How big is this freezer, first of all?
I don't know. Is it like.
And second of all, did he ever get it fixed?
But he placed Oliver's head next to an open box of Arm & Hammer baking soda.
Did he think that was going to stop the smell?
I guess he thought it would help. And he put his heart in the freezer to eat later.
You're going to make me throw up.
He also put other body parts in the freezer. And then he put the rest of the flesh into a trash can and kept his entire skeleton. At this time, Free was suspended from his job at the chocolate factory because he was spending too much time off with his friends. And this really upset Jeffrey. And on July 19th, he was fired. That same day, he met Joseph at a local bus stop. It was pouring down raining, and Joseph, who had a six-pack of beer on him, decided to go back with Jeffrey to party for a bit. Once they had oral sex, Jeffrey drugged him, strangled him, slept with his body for the next few days until his head became infested with maggots.
Oh my gosh.
Jeffrey cleaned up his head.
How has he not got caught? I mean, seriously.
I don't know. So Jeffrey cleaned up his head, putting it in the freezer along with Matt's and Jeremiah's. Then he placed the torso in a 57-gallon barrel in his bedroom. He seems to have very little care. He's starting to become a little sloppy. So on July 22nd, 1991, Jeffrey met Tracy Edwards. Jeffrey picked him up, took him back to his place. Jeffrey claims to remember a little bit of this event, but according to Tracy, Jeffrey pulled out a knife and went from being Mr. Nice Guy to Mr. Cold-Hearted Son of a is what he said.
So he made it out alive?
Hold on, we're going to get there. Jeffrey managed to get handcuffs on one of Tracy's hands, but he fought back and got away. Two officers were doing a nightly patrol when they reached the corner of 25th Street. They were flagged down by a black man with one handcuff dangling on his wrist. Hysterically, he explained to the officer that he'd been drinking with this man who handcuffed him and is now trying to kill him. The officers tried to remove the handcuffs from Tracy's wrist, but their keys would not fit. So the officers escorted Tracy back to the apartment.
Why?
Because they wanted to get the handcuff off.
I think that like the life of Jaws or something.
Jeffrey came to the door of the apartment, a 31-year-old white male, and he just stood there inside of a neat and clean apartment.
Can they look in his freezer?
Jeffrey said that he was responsible for the handcuffs at the point, you know, the officer. So, okay.
Good or creepy or so, psycho or define good.
He pointed to the officer the direction of his bedroom where he thought the key would be. So he said, I just lost my job. I wanted to drink and have some beer. So the cops was looking around and I'm pretty sure this is what happened. And I don't have it in my notes. But I think one cop went with...
To the freezer.
Went with Jeffrey to, like, the room to get the key. And the other was, like, looking around. When opens...
The freezer.
The freezer. It says, oh my God! There is a GD head in here. He's one sick son of a... And Jeffrey suddenly turned around, fought the cops. After that, they got Jeffrey and took him in. Upon searching the apartment, you know, little box of bacon.
Flesh.
No, the bacon served.
Yeah.
That was the first
part. The flesh. The flesh was dissolved.
It barely touched the odor that was probably coming from this fridge.
Shocker. You know.
In the freezer, they had three other heads stored in plastic bags. So in the back of the closet was a metal soup pot that contained decomposing hands and a penis. And on the shelf was two skulls. In the closet were containers of alcohol, chloroform, and along in some of these jars were male genitalia.
So we found the gap bust.
Mm-hmm. Photographs taken by Jeffrey during the different stages of the victim's death was shown. A man's head with flesh still intact was laying in the sink. Other displays of victims cut open from their neck to their groin like a deer being gutted after they were killed. Any kind of photo you can think of, Jeffrey probably took it. Before they were murdered, after they were murdered, just all kinds of nastiness. Jeffrey
was then released 3 hours later on bond.
Jeffrey's bail was originally set
for $1 million
in cash.
Oh my gosh, I was just kidding that he would have a bail.
And then on August 6th, it was raised to $5 million.
Why does he even have a bond?
I don't know. But when they added 8 more murder charges, in the end, Jeffrey had 15 murder charges against him. All Jeffrey would say at any of the hearings is, "I understand, Your Honor," when the judge asked him if he understood any of the charges against him. On July 13th, 1992, Jeffrey ignored his lawyer's advice and changed his plea to guilty. Now, instead of having to prove that he did not commit these murders, Gerald's task was to convince the jury that Jeffrey was crazy, because only an insane person would do what Jeffrey did. They have to be insane to do that. Our two detectives took turns reading a 170-page confessional. Detective Dennis stated that Jeffrey felt a tremendous amount of guilt from his actions. He felt evil. He quoted a quote that Jeffrey said on his own, "It's hard to believe that a human being could ever do what I've done, but I know what I did." He claimed that his fear of being caught was overwhelming by his excitement of being completely in control. The battle over whether Jeffrey was legally responsible and able to control his actions seemed to confuse the jury. Finally, Boyd drew a chart for the jury, which read off a quick skull in the locker, cannibalism, sexual urges, drills, making zombies, drinking all the time, trying to create a shine, defleshing, going to graveyards, masturbating. This is Jeffrey Dahmer. Prosecution McCain said he wasn't a runaway train. He was an engineer. He was satisfying his sexual cravings. Ladies and gentlemen, he fooled a lot of people. Don't let this murderous killer fool you. The jury deliberated for 5 hours and decided that Jeffrey Dahmer did not deserve to spend the rest of his life in a hospital, but he deserved to spend it in prison. In all 15 counts, he was found guilty and sane. Jeffrey wrote an apology to the judge covering a 13-year bloodbath, it said. "Your Honor, it is now over. This has been a case of trying to get free. I did not ever want freedom. Frankly, I wanted death for myself. This was a case to tell the world that I did what I did, but not for reasons of hate. I hate no one. I knew I was sick or evil or both. Now I believe I was sick. The doctors told me about my sickness, and now I have some peace. I know how much harm I have caused. Thank God there is no more harm that I can do. I believe only in the Lord Jesus Christ can save me from my sins. I ask for no consideration." He was sentenced to 15 consecutive lives for a total of 957 years in prison.
Holy crap.
Jeffrey adjusted very well to prison life at the Columbia Correctional Institution in Wisconsin. While in prison, Jeffrey was sued twice for $3 billion. Even though he didn't have a cent to his name, somebody thought they were trying to get a little something. Jeffrey was a model prisoner, and he convinced the prison officers to allow him contact with other inmates. He was able to eat in the common area. He was given work to do with a team of inmates. The morning of November 28, 1994, Jeffrey was working in the bathroom, cleaning up, when a pair of highly dangerous men, Jesse Anderson, a white man who had murdered his wife and blamed it on a black man, and then Christopher Scarver, a black delusional schizophrenic who thought he was the son of God and who was in prison for first-degree murder. 20 minutes after them being in a room cleaning, or in the bathroom cleaning.
So, not to make a joke or anything, what do you get when you get three murderers in a room? I guess we about to find out.
Yep. A prison guard came back in to check on them and found Jeffrey laying face down in a pool of blood. His head was bashed in. The other white inmate, Jesse, was laying in a pool of blood in the showers. Once they arrived at the hospital, Jeffrey was pronounced dead at 9:11 a.m. Jesse died shortly after. They compared those injuries to a car crash. Christopher claimed, "God told me to do it." He received another life sentence for his action that day. Jeffrey was cremated, and each of his parents received half of
the ashes.
The remains, yeah, after a court battle over his ashes.
So they didn't want him physically, but they physically wanted his ashes?
Yeah. So it's like they didn't fight for him after the divorce, but they literally fought for him after he died.
That is weird.
And that's the story of Jeffrey Dahmer.
Wow. All right, you ready for our dum-dum of the day? All right, so man was released on bail after using the apartment wall for target practice. So note to self, don't use your wall as a target.
It'll go through the wall.
Yeah, so.
Did he not realize that the bullet's going to go straight through the wall? And probably go through to the next apartment?
I don't know. 61-year-old male.
61-year-old. He was 61 and did not know this.
Yep. Was arrested for allegedly firing a gun inside of his apartment after using it as target practice. Thankfully, no one was hurt, but learn from this. Do not shoot a gun in your home. It will go through the walls.
I am speechless that he was 61. I wonder if he just did not care or if he did not know.
Or if he did not like his neighbor.
And I'm wondering, did he do a big old black circle and a red dot in the middle?
I don't know. I don't have the details.
Because if he was doing that, then you could say, okay, well, maybe he was like shooting target, you know, target practice. But if there was none, he's just like aiming at the wall.
Boom, 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 boom.
He's trying to kill his neighbors.
I'd say so.
But I guess we're done.
We done.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
But Jeffrey met Ray Smith, and then cut off his head and placed. Jeffrey seems to have a little control at this point. And
what do you mean? He went 9 years without killing anybody, and then you've already listed off 12.
I meant to say very little, and I'm just like, I'm like, he has control.
No, he don't. He has absolutely no control. What do you mean?
Jeffrey seems to have very little control at this point. Should I have said the first time?
Yeah, yeah. A little. No control. He has no control. There's no control to that.
He seems
to... I mean, there's cops that's coming in his apartment, and he's got it under control. He's not busted.